Chapter 21. The Vital Spark. They had been infiltrated. As Hephaestus fought the cultists in the catacombs, he knew this was the only logical explanation. He also realized the goal here was not to kill him. Even with one hand, he was destroying his enemies with ease. It was to delay him and sabotage the ship. Power. It always came to this. Dominance, rulership, energy. Everything that man and alien had fought over for millennia was for power. In the deep engine core, it had a physical manifestation. The very force that drove the ship and gave it life. Sever that, and the ship would die. But that had not been the sole aim of the warp smith he had fought and killed. The lifeblood of the ship had not just been cut off, it had been compromised, tainted. Hephaestus felt the data corruption in the air. It had altered the golem's programming, turning Alpha and Beta against him, and it had crept into the entire vessel. The ship's data feed fed through him. In nanoseconds, he was able to pass vast screeds of Beinharic, deciphering the extent of the damage. Life support, motive function, everything had been compromised. A total and complete shutdown of all systems, barring one. The warp engine derived its power from a self-perpetuating source. Only it and the Geller field it generated remained operational. Hephaestus processed as he fought, multitasking with a Martian's cognitive assurance. As he attempted to root out the data corruption, a cultist came swinging at him with a chain axe. It was an industrial model, designed for cutting pipes and metal plates. Even swung with a mortal's meagre strength, it would chew through soft-seal armour joints without difficulty. Hephaestus took the blow on his shoulder, sparks spitting from the guard, chain teeth snapping at paint but little else. He swung his arm around, the Volkite pistol back in his hand, and cored out the cultist's chest. He shot two more at distance, deflagrating their crude environment suits and letting them die painful deaths from the atmosphere's toxicity. Stepping over the writhing bodies, he engaged the rest. The cogax was back, maglocked to his hip. His injuries had stabilized, and he could walk and fight, but his left arm hung useless at his side. In the narrow spaces of the deep engine core, Hephaestus had determined a pistol was the more efficient option. So it had proven. Four more cultists lay dead. Hephaestus took no satisfaction in it. To him, war and battle were equations, a balancing of effort versus efficiency. He counted 20 dead in total, all baseline human, all dressed in crude environment suits, all bearing the Aquila, albeit the tattoo had been roughly scratched away. These men and women had once been crew. Now they were enemies. Privation and fear had driven them to madness. Hephaestus had no logic to explain the influence of the warp, but he knew the longer they were adrift in its capricious tides, the chances of their survival diminished. He walked heavily back to the core. Principal amongst his concerns now was the reignition of the main furnace. The energy conversion rate of the core was less than suboptimal. Failure to boost output soon would result in permanent endothermic stasis. After that, no available measures would bring the power back online. In the few minutes it had taken to reach the core, Hephaestus had isolated and neutralized the hostile data ciphers released by the warpsmith. They had been rudimentary, scrap code that even a low-level tech priest could unravel. Its deployment then had not been to permanently disable the ship. The intent was temporary paralysis. He wondered what for. The Vox was still scrambled. The malicious code and his current depth in the ship conspired to make communications to above decks impossible. He was still scrubbing transmission bands when he re-interfaced with the core via mechadendrite implant. Engaged fully with the core's machine spirit, Hephaestus perceived the rapidly diminishing output and concluded there was a need for drastic action. He disconnected from the core, quickly mounting an access gantry to where the furnace burned laboriously. An immense metal chamber contained the fiery heart of the ship, a molten promethium mixture like magma. Hephaestus had to manually open up a small porthole in the coal-black vessel. It took considerable effort and the application of heavy-grade Mechanicus tools. A volatile sea churned within, its perfect actinic blue waves flickering with crests of white fire. Warning sigils instantly flared across the Techmarine's retinal lens display. He dismissed them. Even operating at a fraction of its potential, the heat spikes were significant. His armour bore the brunt, a convection wave that blistered paint and ate at ceramite. Only a massive convective input would provoke the fusion reaction to reignite the core. It was a failing dwarf star, bleeding out radiation pressure and fighting a cascade of falling hydrogen layers. Heat death was imminent. Stepping back from the porthole, Hephaestus's servo armature unclamped the separate generator for his armour. At the moment of disconnection, he felt a sudden divorcement of flesh, cybernetics and suit. It immediately weighed much more heavily. The power plant's housing contained a small nuclear reactor. Its concomitant parts were hard-bonded, proofed against extreme kinetic stress, and temperature-shielded. He took a pair of crack grenades from his weapons belt and attached them to one side of the generator. Their combined incendiary reaction would magnify and split the housing, exposing it to the dying furnace. It was crude and ill-considered. If it worked, it would also very likely result in his death.
"Forgive me, Omnisire,"
uttered Hephaestus, as he dropped the generator into the furnace, praying for a vital spark.